It is always an honor to share the most precious treasure on earth, and that's God's Word. So I pray that God will bless His Word today. I want to turn to Psalms chapter 8. Read here what was inspired by God about you and me, about us, mankind. David said, I believe it is David's psalm, verse 3, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Here he describes how God has made man. And he compared him to the great wonders in the heavens, the moon and the stars. And those are wonderful and beautiful, and they do obey God's will by command of God. They don't have a will of their own. And he compares man to them, but whenever you really think about it, God's crowning creation was man. Even greater than the stars and the moon and the sun and all of the animals, he made man differently. He made him differently than he had made his angels, the spirits that minister. He made those spirits to minister to us who are created of him by hand. He formed man with his own finger. Think how intimate that is, and how loving and how personal he is, because he made us. And each one, in Psalms 139, the psalmist says, "You're there when I'm formed." Just as if he were creating you again. He made you every detail. He planned everything. It's done in secret, away from the eyes of anyone, but God is right there to form you and to plan you and to cause you to come into this world. You're here because God has said for you to live. So God has made us in the beginning. He made us after his image. When you think about that, he didn't make any other creature after his image. He didn't give any other creature a soul that lives forever. He didn't give any other creature the kind of spirit that he gave you and me. He gave us a will that we might choose to obey or not obey. The sun, the moon, the animals, they don't have that. If they did, it would be chaos, wouldn't it? If the sun and the moon just decided, hey, let's get a little closer together. That wouldn't work out. The stars, what if they just said, well, let's just have a race and see which one of us can crash into Earth the first? That he didn't make those with a will. They obey his commands. And because they do, everything works the way that it does. We don't need to be afraid of that happening, because God is in control of them. But with man, he gave man a will. He gave him the volition, the chance, the opportunity to choose. There's also something else that he did with man. It says here, "You have crowned him with glory and honor." How? Have you ever thought? This has been my question all week. I've been asking God, what does it mean for you to have crowned man with glory and honor? Well, when you look around at people and the sufferings and the sins and the degradation and the ways that people are living, and you want to think, huh? How how is mankind crowned with glory and honor? But I believe this is talking about the purpose, the plan, what he did in the beginning, the way he made man to have dominion over that which is beastly, that which is not spirit. He gave man an honor in this way, and I've been thinking about it. One of the ways that he made man there in the garden was with the capability to walk with him. None of the other animals. He does not have that relationship with any of the other animals. But with mankind, he created man, and he gave him the honor of walking with God. That is a glory and an honor that he's bestowed upon us. Now, today, because he gave us a will, we can choose. And today, because many people from many generations, clear back to when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, when they chose to disobey God, they gave up that glory and honor to walk with him. But I want us to consider this morning the awesome and wonderful glory and honor that he planned for us to have, and that he wanted us to walk with him and talk with him. That's, to me, the crowning glory and honor that he's given us. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. That's God's original plan. Now think about it as compared to mankind today. Are people having dominion over the created things? Think about it. Do they have dominion over their flesh? Do mankind this morning, do they have dominion over every sin? No. We have a world full of people that have lowered themselves way below the glory and the honor that God created them to have. Think about it for yourself this morning. Do you live? Are you aware? Do you respond to? Do you enjoy the glory and the honor that he planned for you to have in your life? He did not plan for your life to be as low as the beast. Someone who has no spirit. Someone who has no choice. Someone who just plods along through life and just kind of does life. No. He planned for you and I to have a glory and an honor about us. We're going to get into that just a little bit more as we go through the scriptures. A lot of that has to do with how he made you male or female. He made us what we are. And you think of the dishonor that people are doing to that where God placed them this morning. You think about what people are doing to reduce themselves, to lower themselves way below the place of honor that he placed a woman, the place of honor that he placed a man. I should have said that differently, because he really did. He made the man first, and then he created the woman for the man. And that is a place of honor for both. Read with me 1 Corinthians 11. I just want to read the order in which God made. And that has a lot to do with the glory and the honor that's in our lives today. If we are in our places where God made us, we're crowned with glory and honor. And he meant for it to be so. And he meant for there to be a nobility, and for those places to be very honorable, distinct, precious, guarded, his precious possession, his people that would walk with him in their places. Each of us can walk with the Lord. The scripture says there's no difference there of male or female. We're all children of God. We're all heirs of the same promise and the same inheritance. That doesn't make a difference there. We're all going to enjoy the presence of God and eternal presence of God when we walk with him. There's a glory that God has given to mankind who chooses to walk with Him. He renews you to your rightful place that sin has robbed you of. In salvation, again, He recreates you, makes you a new creature, makes you into the image that He created you for and that He created you in. He puts you into that place of honor. Salvation does that. Let's think about it this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, he said, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." He goes ahead and talks about a word that we've used already this morning, the word glory. He has given a glory to His creation. He gave a man glory in that he is under Christ. He is subject to Christ. He answers to Christ. That's a glory in man. Christ is his head. He put a glory in woman in that she answers to her husband, and she is created for her husband. She is submissive to her husband. There's a glory and an honor in that. And when those things are mixed up, when they're denied, when their rebellion comes in any of those ways, the glory goes away. All of that God created a woman and a man to have in their lives is taken away. He gave the woman long hair, he says here in verse 15. It is a glory to her. When a woman, and it's a sign, it is a sign that she is in the place of submission and under the authority of her husband that she should be. It's a sign unto God and to angels and to the world for the woman to have what God gave her as a sign of glory. It's a sign that she is in her place. And you notice that when the world began to, when most of society, the women used to have long hair, but as society went farther and farther away from God, that one of the first things that women began to do was to cut off their glory and to take away the sign. It's a sign of we are our own authority. We are our own power. And you have that today where women use that as a sign and a symbol of rebellion. I remember seeing a woman who was newly divorced. And it was amazing to me because she didn't know what she was doing. But in her rebellion against all that she, against her husband and against it all, she looked like a man in what she wore. I remember she wore a t-shirt that said, "I got this t-shirt for my husband. Good trade, huh?" Well, that was her attitude. That came out of her in the rebellion. All of that was a rebellion against the place that the Lord had put her in. And that, she lost her glory. She had none of the womanly femininity that God created her with. She didn't have the softness. She didn't have the nobility, the honor that God had really made her to have. In this, God has, I believe He is really grieved. I don't know how women did back in Noah's time, but I can see how women are doing today, and it grieves my heart. My heart has just been really grieved this week. And in looking at how women are doing with their bodies, how they uncover their bodies, how they're displaying themselves in ungodly and vulgar ways. God meant for a woman to have a glory and an honor about her. And instead, they're using their bodies as newspapers just to print on. Or they're acting like their bodies, that like they're animals for someone to brand. Put a brand on. This one belongs to me. Well, this one belongs to you. I'm talking about all of the tattooing that goes on. The things that women are doing to dishonor their own selves. God had created them to honor and to glory. Men likewise, to think about men today that have taken the place of honor and glory that God meant them to have, for them to be spiritual leaders, for them to be kings and priests in their homes, to lead their families to worship God. And you think of men today that their bodies are subject to alcohol and drugs and tobacco. They're slaves. They're not kings. They're not reigning over the beastly. Instead, they've lowered themselves to be subject to the things that are made. Tobacco. All of the drinking that's going on today. It's a lowering of people to be subject to a drug. That's what it is. It's people have become way lower than what God intended them to be. God didn't intend for a man or a woman to enslave themselves to something that grows out here in the field. That is your master. You're a human. God made you to reign over everything. But to be under Christ, it reigns in your heart, and you reign in the place where God made you to reign. But instead, people are slaves to all of these things. Can you not see this picture? I see it as almost like looking out at a cow lot and just seeing people just milling about, living in the mud, and thinking about a beautiful pasture. This is just a comparison of animals. Have you ever looked at a beautiful pasture and seen animals grazing peacefully and compare that to, have you ever seen some of the huge cow lots that they have? If you ever travel west out of Oklahoma and you go through Texas and New Mexico, you'll see lots of them. It is sad when you look at those cattle, how they're just herded about, how they're just pinned up. There's no grass. They spend all of their lives in the mud. And then they're shipped off to market. I used to, as a little girl, I'd look at that and I'd think, oh, that's just awful. That's the way it is with people today. The devil has people so lowered from what God made them to live. They are underneath and in bondage to all kinds of things. And God never meant it to be. He meant for a man to be the leader in his home, to lead his children to believe in God and to worship God, to teach his children the truth of God. Instead, you have men today that have very, very little to do with their children's spiritual nurturing. They leave a lot of it, if they allow it at all, they leave it to the woman. And if the mother is ungodly, then where will the children be taught of God? What a sad situation we have today. People are slaves, and they're down living in horrible conditions when God really meant for people to live lifted up in honor, nobility, and in the glory of God. He meant to give you glory. Now I want to look at some of the New Testament scriptures. 1 Thessalonians, I believe it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself said to his Father as he prayed in John 17, he said, I want you to give them the glory that I've had with you. Talking about his disciples, those who would believe on him. His call, his gift to us, his inheritance to us is the glory of God, the presence of God, the ability to walk with him, to inherit all of the riches and the abundance of his kingdom in our lives, righteousness, holiness, peace, joy, wisdom, faithfulness, integrity. All of those wonderful things are part of the noble life, that the glory and the honor. He said he's called you to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at this one. Verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That is your calling this morning as a Christian. He's called you to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. He's called you to glory and virtue, righteousness, holiness, noble manhood and womanhood. That's what he's called us to. He has called us to glory and virtue. Remember our first scripture. God crowned man with glory and honor. I want us to quit thinking this morning in the terms of the world around us. Don't let the world press you into its mold. Its mold has dragged people down, down, down. But God has called you to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. Picture of the church in Revelation chapter 21. He speaks of the holy city that descended out of heaven from God, 21 and 10. It says about this city, which we know in other scriptures that put together this like a puzzle. The other scriptures let us know that this holy city that came down from God out of heaven is you and me when we're saved. We make up the city of God, the church of God. And he said about that, verse 11, having the glory of God. Now I'm still thinking, and I imagine you're thinking this morning, okay, you just keep talking about glory. What really is glory? How do you define it? Remember I talked to you about what a wonderful privilege it is that God made Adam and Eve and he made mankind to walk with him. I believe that the glory of God in these scriptures, it means the presence of God. God wanted you to walk through life with him, the two of you together. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to be the light in your life. He didn't ever intend for you and I to walk in darkness. But he wants to walk and where God is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's access to God. There is a taking away of all of the blinds that Satan has put on us. And we walk seeing and knowing. Well, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 4. Well, I think it's chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about this. Verse 17. Now, where the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's access. Access to what? But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. That's how he wants us to walk. He wants us to walk seeing God's glory, having God's glory in our lives. And that glory, it makes us, it changes us. It says, we, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. We obtain that glory. He has called us to glory. He's called us to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Whenever the disciples, James, Peter, and John, went up on the mountain with Jesus, he transfigured before them into who he really is in the brightness and the glory. It was a whiteness and a glow that mankind hadn't ever seen before. Jesus, when he came here on earth, he laid aside that brightness. He came here as a common human baby. He was God, or the Word, made flesh and dwelling among us. He didn't have that brightness. But when he took the three disciples up on the mountain with him, he took on that in their vision. They saw what he really was, the Lord of glory. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, he heard a voice speaking to him, and it was like the sound of many waters. He turned around and he saw the Lord of glory. Someday, the Lord is going to change us all from this flesh to a glorified body. It's all going to be like that. And he gave his disciples a little glimpse of that glory. But right now, we can look into, through the eyes of the Spirit, with a heart made free from sin, with a heart free from rebellion. Did you know you can also have glory in your life? He meant for us to walk with the glory of God. He meant us to walk closely with the Lord, to have His presence. This morning, I want to ask all of us, have you been able to obtain what God has willed to you in your life? Do you have the glory of God, the presence of God, the nearness of God in your life? That's what Jesus came to bring us to. We, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe what this is growth. It's where you start out and you just don't even have an idea of how close God wants to walk with you. But as you go, as He touches you, as He reveals more to you, as you see Him more clearly, as you get to know Him through the Word, as He reveals Himself to you in the situations of life where God reveals His character, His love, His care, His wisdom, His power, you and I begin to grow in knowledge and grow in the grace of God more and more into our lives. We're changed into that same glory. We're changed at this level. We're changed to another level, more glory, more light, more presence, more nearness. But if we ever turn around, if we ever go back, if we ever stop and say, I don't want to obey, I don't want to go from this step to the next step, we want to go forward as we read last Sunday, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Why? It's right here. We'll be changed from glory to glory into His image. We want that, don't we? I want that. I want the Lord. I don't want another image stamped on me. I don't want to lower myself to a beast or a piece of newsprint. I want God to put His image. I want His likeness. I want His impression. I want to belong to Him. It says that He puts a seal on all of those who belong to Him. That seal is holiness. That seal is His presence. Or when we walk into a room, there's going to be something about us. And there's also something about that someone else who has that glory. And you have that glory. When you meet that person, there's just something. There's something there. And I believe it's the glory of God in our lives. It is the presence of God in our lives. It unites two people that have it. They come together. There's some. I've experienced that. Coming in contact with someone I didn't even know, but learning of their love for God, and the two of us enjoying a level of fellowship that was farther. It was different from just human. It was fellowship. That's part of the glory. Part of the glory is the unity with other believers. That's part of it. There's just so many parts of this inheritance that we have. I want to speak now about something that's a wonderful part of this inheritance. I'm going to use the illustration of marriage, 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 7. It's been speaking to the holy women to be in subjection to their husbands and to have a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Then in verse 7 he says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now in a spiritual realm, we are part of the bride of Christ. We are that weaker vessel. The church is his bride. But what does he say here for the husband? How is he to treat the weaker vessel? To give her honor. Did you know that that's what Christ does to us? He gives us honor. How does He do that? How does He honor the bride of Christ? How does a husband honor his wife? Jesus honors His bride. I want to give you a little thought about that. In Psalm 91, I want to read you a picture of the honor and the glory that God gives to those who love Him. Verse 14 of Psalm 91, "Because He hath set His love upon me," talking about any person. If you this morning, and just put your name in here, "Because Dan has set His love upon me," "Because Keaton has set His love upon me," here's what God will do. Any of you, Ann, Samantha, any of us this morning, woman or man, because if you set your love upon Christ, here's what He will do. "Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." This is God. This is God, the great Jehovah, the great Almighty, the Lord Most High. This is Him saying, if you set your love upon Him, He will honor you. How is it that He honors us? How is it that a man honors his wife? How is it that Christ honors His bride? I believe that He loves to do things for us, to help us. He loves to treat us with gentleness and kindness. He loves to hear us speak to Him. He loves to grant us requests that we bring to Him. We bring it in submission. We don't bring it in pride and rebellion. We bring requests. He honors His bride. Christ does. When you call upon Him, He loves to answer you. To me, this is one of the greatest parts of the glory and honor that God has given to us, is this part of prayer, of calling us to prayer and answering prayer for His people. How He loves to answer prayer. "The prayer of the upright is His delight," it says in Scripture. God looks at the person who lives with fear and trembling. He looks at them with favor and with care. He looks intently. He listens to your prayers. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." He loves the prayer of the upright. And He loves to answer. He loves for us to pray and join with Him in the intercession. His life in us is that of prayer. This is what I think, to me, this is one of the most glorious parts of our life with Him, is the part of prayer, is the part of walking with Him, communing with Him, bringing to Him our praise, our thanksgiving, our love, our worship, our admiration of His character. Go through the day and try this tomorrow. Do this the rest of your life. But sometime in the day and all through the day, think about the things of the Lord that are beautiful and that are wonderful, that His wisdom, the counsels of His heart that bring us peace, His words that are gracious and powerful, His power, His deliverance, His salvation, His love for you. Think about those things and set your love upon Him. Tell Him how wonderful He is. Praise Him. Tell Him what you admire. Thank Him. That's an honor that He has given us of walking with Him through the day. When you hear His voice, when He speaks to you, when His word comes to you, when He brings you a song, commune with Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. And when it's time, when you have burdens, don't shy back and think, "Oh, I can't tell. I can't talk. I can't say this." Bring it to the Lord. Express all of your heart's needs and desires, all of your longings, all of your disappointments, even your anger, even your frustration. Bring it to the Lord. Talk to Him. He has honored you with this privilege of sharing and walking with Him. This is the way that the Lord has honored us. I really believe one of the most, to me, it's one of the sweetest ways of feeling the honor from God is that I have the privilege of talking to Him and bringing to Him everything. He knows me. He loves me. He extends His favor to me, even though I don't deserve it. He's always there for me. He's there for to make me what He wanted me to be when He created me. He's going to help you. He's on your side. He's against your enemies. He fights for you. All of these things is an honor and a glory that He's put into our lives. It's different from the animals. He doesn't want us to live like the animals. He doesn't want our homes, our lives to be dragged down into the dirt like people are living today. He doesn't want your body to be a slave to drugs or alcohol or any of the stimulants that people just depend on every day to live. That's a slave. He didn't make you a slave. He made you a king. He made you to reign. He made you with honor and with dignity and with glory. None of this morning is talking about being uplifted or conceited or arrogant. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's walking with the dignity and the nobility that God made you with. What He has given you in Christ. It doesn't make us better than other people. It makes us who God created us to be. And His plan is for all people. So we can't take any credit or glory to ourselves and go around with our nose in the air and say, well, I'm just so much better than you all. But we go around with the awareness that God made you for this too. God has this for you. A compassion within us that reaches out to those who are oppressed by the devil, realizing that we were once oppressed, foolish, and living according to our lust as well. But God has lifted us up, has He not? Oh, what grace and high promotion that in Jesus I should be, raised from sin to royal honor, even reigning, Lord, with Thee. What a wonderful grace and glory that He has given. Psalm 84, this promise. Claim this promise today. If you think about what I'm preaching and you think about your life and you say, I think I'm lacking. I think I'm missing some of this glory that you're talking about. Here's a promise for you. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. This word shield means a full body buckler. A door-shaped shield that will cover the entire. This is what God is. The Lord will give grace and glory. He'll give it to you. He wants to give it to you. He wants there to be not just, oh, plodding through life, just hardship and just trouble and just darkness and just gloom and life is hard and then you die mentality. I don't believe God wants us to live like that. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He has come to give you an inheritance that He has for all who are His. He wants you to inherit the glory of God. Not just existence. Not just slavery to some sin all your life. But He's come to give you glory and grace. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. You think about how God made man to be upright. Really, none of the other animals primarily walk upright like man does. Man, He made to walk upright. Now, that's physical, but spiritually, He made man holy in His image. Man fell from that. And every other person since born has been born, fallen in their very nature. But God came, Jesus came, to save His people from their sins, to ransom them from the power of the devil, to redeem them from the land of the enemy where they've been taken captive, you and me, and to bring us back and make us His children, His inheritance. The word his peculiar treasure means something that's closely guarded, something that's covered, something that he has specially chosen for, that's for himself. That's you and I. That's not the animals. He has done that for those who choose him and love him. I'm thankful this morning for the glory of God that he has given us here. Now, one more. I referenced this a while ago, John 17. But Jesus praying to his Father. In verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, or for his disciples there with him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. We believe on Jesus because we've read the Gospels. So Jesus at this time was praying for you and me. I pray for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. This was my quest this week, and I'm still searching. Lord, what is that glory? If you said to your Father, I have given this glory to those who have believed on me, what is it? What is this glory? What is this, the quality of life that you've given to me in bringing salvation to me? Lord, I want to know it. We sing a song, the half has never yet been told. No, wait. No, it's the song, my soul is satisfied. There's a verse in there that says, would my soul could more encompass heaven's glory willed to me. Lord, if you've given a will and a testament, this is it. If you've given this to me on your death and resurrection, and you've given me an inheritance that I can go to and claim, what is it? What is that inheritance? Am I living with no inheritance, scraping by in this life, spiritually I'm speaking, and I don't have or enjoy any of the things that Jesus died for that I may have? I don't want to do that. I want to enjoy in this life all of Christ's glory that he has given. He said, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now, there's one more after that. Let's see. John 12, where he said, verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. I want to be in his presence, don't you? Jesus said, I will that they be with me where I am. I want to be where the Lord is. I want to have that. He said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I want to be that. I want to know that honor and that glory that he's crowned us with. I hope this morning that it will put in all of us just a longing and a searching. Lord, go find a place in prayer sometime today and say, Lord, I want to know what you meant when you said you've crowned me with glory and honor. I don't want to live a life here on earth just like a beast. I want to be an upright man or a noble woman that you have created me to be. Help me to be the man I should be. Help me to be the woman that I should be. Teach me the qualities of virtuous manhood, the honor, the distinction, the dignity, the upright integrity of life, Lord. Teach that to me, that I may be crowned with your glory and honor. And Lord, teach me a virtuous womanhood. Help me not to sink to the level of degradation of women today, cursing and swearing, speaking of things that they should not, rebellious and speaking against their husbands, it's displaying and printing all over their bodies. Lord, teach me how to be a righteous, godly woman. Help me to display this not just for the world, for my family especially. Help my children to know godliness and honor and integrity and virtue. Amen.